And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. So great to be with you today. From Austin, Texas, the Republic of Texas. I'm right in the center of it. We call this really Central Austin. And glad to be with you amongst all the trees here. Believe it or not, Texas has trees. It's up in the West Texas that we have all those tumbling tumbleweeds that the old Sons of the Pioneers and Roy Rogers used to sing about. You can tell I'm an oldie but goodie, can't you? Remembering the Sons of the Pioneers and all those great cowboy songs. Well, yes, I am. I'm just still an old cowboy at heart. You know, 20 years as an Air Force officer and traveling around the world and being a professor and a teacher at three universities didn't spoil me at all. I still have my roots from a little town in East Texas where they really had nothing but the smell of oil wells and factories. We call them refineries. From Texaco to Goodyear Rubber. You know, you wake up in the morning, you smell it, and go to sleep at night smelling it. I tell you, what a wonderful aroma that was. But it gave a lot of men jobs, put a lot of food on the table, and still does, I suppose. So I didn't mind it too much. My old dad, he worked at one of those places that refined chemicals for use in synthetic rubber. You know, our tires are made actually not of rubber that comes from rubber trees in Malaya or Indonesia, but is really synthetic, created during World War II. And my dad, who knows? He's gone to be with the Lord now, but maybe you've driven on tires that my dad helped to create. Who knows? Okay. A lot of great men and women in America in the old days, a great generation. I look forward to the younger upcoming generation, though. And, folks, if you're a young person, a young man or woman listening to me today, you got a heavy burden, but maybe you can do better than us. I hope you can. I pray you can. You know, sometimes I just get so frustrated at young people today, and you look around at the generation and it seems to be a pleasure-driven generation. I just read that more and more people, now this is an astonishing thing, but this just came out today. A new study says that more and more people are not taking baths. Not taking baths, not shampooing their hair, not shaving, not brushing their teeth. And they say it might be partially because some people are now environmentalist. And somehow they believe in saving water, they're saving the environment, saving their Mother Earth. So, you know, if you're a young man and you'd like to meet a nice girl, you may want to check first and see if she's an environmentalist. If she's an environmentalist, it may be she hadn't brushed her teeth, and you don't want to kiss somebody like that. I mean, you know, my wife, she's on me if I don't brush my teeth. You know, I can't blame her. Who wants to kiss a dirty old mouth? Ugh. Stringy hair, unwashed. They say this is really gathering steam among the younger generation. And with all their tattoos and their colored hair and their spikes and their, you know, strange pieces of metal sticking out of their jowls and their lips and their nose and their ears and other unnamed parts of the body. Just pretty weird, isn't it? But, you know, it's interesting how God works. There is a small remnant of young people who are doing wonderful things for the Lord. Oh, there is. You may think there's not. You may say, oh, that's the end of it. Our generation ended it all. We who are a little older sometimes think that's true, but listen, I know. I get mail. I get mail from young men and women. I get mail from 14-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 21-year-old, 25-years-old people. And they're hungry for the truth. In the book of Amos, it says, in the Bible, it says in the last days, there will be a great hunger just to hear the word of God spoken and preached. a hunger. And people will be so hungry for the Word of God that they'll travel great distances just to hear somebody who will really preach the truth to them. Of course, now they can get on their TV and they think they can find somebody, but you can't. Turn on TV. How many televangelists can you trust in? Come on. How many mainstream ministers? How many priests? Well, you can't even count those at all. Can you believe in? So maybe you will have to travel great distances. It could be that the church of tomorrow is really a church that meets in homes, like the first church did, the early Christian church. They didn't have huge temples and buildings like the Greeks and the Romans did. They didn't have the giant temple of Herod in Jerusalem. They had to meet in little homes, in little places. And then when they began to be battered and beaten and persecuted, they had to meet down in the catacombs, in the caves, out in the forest. I was reading some years ago about Christians during the communist era in the Soviet Union. And the Christians would recognize each other by certain signs, and they would go out into the woods, into the forest, and conduct services. They would just very, as quietly as they could, sing the Psalms, read from the Bible, pray for each other, encourage each other in the faith. I remember reading a book by a Russian man. It was his job as part of the secret police to find little groups like that, enclaves of Christians. And he would find them, and just like Paul, the Apostle Paul did the early Christians, when he found a group like that, of course, they would arrest them all. They would beat them. They would torture them. They would force them under torture to tell the names of all the other Christians that may not have been out that night or whatever, but they would do horrible things to the Christians. They would rape the girls, do homosexual acts against the young Christian boys. Then they would be thrown into the gulags, and most of them ended up dead. That was during the Stalinist era, even the Brezhnev, the Khrushchev eras. And this young man, well, actually he's a little older now, wrote that he was one of the ones responsible for doing that. But he was always amazed. There were always some Christians who refused to give names, no matter how much they were tortured. He tried his best, he and his cohorts, to try to force them into renouncing Jesus. They would mock Jesus. They would say, I'm the devil. What do you think now? I'm in charge. They did horrible things to the Christians. Well, the reason I read that book was because the man came to finally to accept Jesus himself. And it ended with him being put in a camp, in a prison, as a Christian, under communism. Now, friends, if you want to know why people are worried about the old Barack Obamas of the world today, the George Soros, the Rothschilds, it's because of what happened when 66 million, mostly Christians, perished in the USSR, and when Christians were especially persecuted. And churches were burned to the ground, turned into barns, into whorehouses by the communists, who were, of course, Jews. Both Vladimir Lenin and Leon Trotsky, Jews, being Jews, hated the Christians. And for the most part, the synagogues were sacrosanct. They were left alone. The rabbis even became commandants of the Soviet gulags and enjoyed torturing and killing Christians. So I want you to understand this, my friends. These things are real. We've been blessed in America. But that's why we have to fight. And thank God for those who are fighting against socialism and communism in America. We must stop that, because if they take over, if the Jews end up totally controlling America, they already control Washington, D.C., their lobbies and so forth. But they don't control every person. They don't control everything. We still have a few liberties left. But once they're extinguished, that's it. You'll be picked up. They know your name. You say, well, I keep my name a secret. I don't get on mailing lists. They know who you are. What do you think they've been spending tens and tens of billions of dollars for what they call Homeland Security? They've got your name on a list somewhere. Don't think you're going to escape. Well, but we have to work while there's still time, while there's light in the world. I want to talk to you today about some secrets. This is a volume of secrets, and we've got a lot to talk about. Hey, some folks that believe in Mother Mary, some nice Catholic people continue to send me material, sort of interesting, and they're still talking about the secrets of Fatima. Maybe we can chat about that. Hey, one of the chief rabbis over in Israel says if you're a Gentile, you exist only to serve Jews. The Jews are the effendi. They're the masters. And all Gentiles in the coming world, that's the Jewish utopia that's going to be the kingdom of the Jews on earth, is coming soon, says the rabbi. And you who are Gentiles, those who are left, who are not murdered by being beheaded at the guillotine and elsewise, those Gentiles who are left will be slaves and laborers who serve the Jews. But you'll be well fed as a slave. You'll be given medicine and so forth when needed. You'll live a long life as a slave laborer, you Gentiles. As long as you faithfully serve the Jews, they'll take care of you like a good, you know, slave should be taken care of. And God might even extend your life so you can give more service as a slave to the Jews. That's the good news, says the rabbi. We'll talk about the rabbi Obadiah Yosef over in Israel, chief rabbi. And that's what he says. You Gentiles, you're really not even human beings. You've only been put on the earth to serve the Jews. Then there's another thing came out, a rabbi that's published a book. He said, you know, we've been hiding these things for many, many years, but now let's just come out with it. Jews are superior. We're the superior race. And all Gentiles will come under our purview. Rabbi Sadyagrama is his name. We'll talk about his book on Jewish supremacy. Hope we have time to do that. So much going on. We'll talk about Glenn Beck. Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State. Hey, this entitlements commission is going to come out. Now we have these cost-cutting Republicans. They say we've got to cut entitlements. Well, Barack Obama says the same thing. How snazzy is that? Barack Obama can work with the Republicans to cut some things, but what are those things? Meanwhile, Obama continues his assassination program. Did I read that right? Are they assassinating U.S. citizens? Is America killing its own people without benefit of a judge and jury? Could be. Pope Benedict wearing the fish's head. But he's got a new symbol on it. Whoa, what is this new symbol? The Israelis say they might have to explode nuclear weapons and blow Iran off the map. Could that be true? Would they really do such a thing? I mean, Japan has been the only nation to suffer from the atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki in World War II, or at the end of World War II. That's what ended the Japanese Pacific War. But Israel has about 400 nuclear bombs. What's going on? Meanwhile, the craziness in the Christian church continues. Unbelievable things. Oh, we'll talk about that. Hey, there's a movie out. Flipping channels the other night, and I saw it. I was amazed by the movie. And I thought, this is from the pit of hell. But they're promoting it for children, I found out. I went and did a little research on the movie and called Pan's Labyrinth. Thought I'd tell you a little bit what I found out about it. Hey, remember we offered a book, Sex, Crime, and Consequences, entitled Sex, Crime, and Consequences by Dr. Judith Reisman? Well, now it looks like the Indiana legislators are getting involved. Looks like Judith Reisman did some good with her book, which exposed the Kinsey Institute. And that's just a little bit of what we got for you today. So let's get right to work right immediately. Good friend of mine, Ron, he knows who he is, sent me some stuff about Glenn Beck. And this is from New York. And I actually saw this segment of the Bill O'Reilly Factor show on Fox Network. And Glenn Beck, you know, is wildly popular now, and so is Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly has the most popular cable news program, and Glenn Beck is, I think he's number three now, but he's been pretty much up there. Well, once a week at least, Glenn Beck is about a 5-minute little guest on his good friend Bill O'Reilly's show. In fact, O'Reilly, you know, and Beck are going around the nation doing a duo. They're the dynamic duo, and they're just packing stadiums and theaters, talking about what they believe in and all that. And Beck, of course, you know, has the best-selling books out there, and so does O'Reilly. They were talking on the O'Reilly show back in August, in fact. You can look it up on Google it on the webpage. And O'Reilly asked him, you know, all these questions are all set up. If, you know, they're not just spontaneous. They're all set up. And now that Beck has all these Tea Party people and all these Christians who believe in him, now comes the, you know, first they get you into their web, the spiders, and it all looks so nice. It's just like the trap that you set for the mouse. He smells that cheese. He knows he's got it made, and he comes out, and whack, got him by the neck. That's what's going to happen. That's the way O'Reilly does. I mean, that's what Beck is doing. They get you into their little web. You say, they're a conservative. They're Christian. They believe like I do. And then suddenly, whack, comes the bar right down on your neck. Well, Glenn Beck may have shocked many Americans, but not those who listen to this program, because we've exposed Glenn Beck before by noting on the O'Reilly Factory, he was asked what he thinks about homosexual marriage. And Beck answered, he didn't think it was a problem. Let me give the exact question and answer. O'Reilly asked Glenn Beck, do you believe that gay marriage is the threat to the country in any way? Beck replied, quote, no, I don't. Adding sarcastically with a laugh, will the gays come and get us? Ha ha ha. You know, Glenn, they just might. You know, Glenn, you're pretty stupid, but I know of a church that I could tell you about in California, out near San Francisco, a Bible-believing church. And the gays got so mad at that church. A crowd of gays surrounded that church. They sliced tires, messed up the cars out in the parking lot. And then they began to beat on the door of that church, screaming out, we want to F you. We want to S you. We want to stick blank blank in you. Beating on the windows of the church. Closed, of course, by that time. They probably always are with air conditioning today. But they beat on the windows. They screamed and beat on the doors and said, let us in. Now, the pastor was, as I understand, the kind of guy that was willing to let anybody in. But he knew what they wanted to do. They wanted to come in, scream, rave, curse, exhibit their private parts to men, women, and children. This happened in America. This is Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. And you know, I had a tape of that. I played the audio tape. The pastor began to say, let's get this on tape. These crimes against us. There were several hundred people in the church and they just all hunkered together, scared. They were not armed. They were not angry. They were frightened at the cruel, merciless gay mob that surrounded the church. And they got it on tape. And friends, I played that twice here on Power Prophecy, and maybe I will again. That was several years back. I played the tape so there would be no doubt what they had done. Now the pastor called up from the church. He called up while they were beating on the windows and messing around with the cars, you know, they call it keying, don't they, when they make a big mark on your car and all that, defacing them and so forth. You can imagine what they were doing, defecating on people's cars and all out in the parking lot. The pastor called up the San Francisco Police Department and explained what was going on. Said, please come and help us. And guess what the San Francisco cops said? Most of them are gay now. They laughed at the pastor. They said, well, what do you expect? You're one of those Bible churches, and this is San Francisco. We've got better things to do than come and rescue you, so you'll just have to suck it up. That's what the cops told him. I guess he could have called the San Francisco Congresswoman, Nancy Pelosi. Maybe she would have done something about it. Yes, Beck, the gays may come and get you. But I doubt it. You know why? Because they know you're on their side. Man, you don't think that gay marriage is a threat to our country in any way? Evidently not even moral. Gay marriage a threat to the country? I don't believe it is, says Glenn Beck. And then when pressed on the issue again, Beck said, well, I believe what Thomas Jefferson said. And then he gave some quote that had nothing to do with gays. I know what Thomas Jefferson said about gays. I do. He basically said they should be locked up and kept under lock and key. You know, that quote has never come out of Thomas Jefferson. Meanwhile, we've got some information about Madeleine Albright. She's written a book. I like this. Sort of interesting. You know, Madeleine Albright was Secretary of State. She was the gal that it was suddenly discovered while the United States was bombing and killing Christians in Serbia. That's right. We were bombing under Bill Clinton. We bombed and killed thousands of innocent Christians in the nation of Serbia. You say, I don't remember that. Oh, well. Oh, yeah. We did it. And we said we were protecting the Muslims from the mean old Christians. And we began to bomb the Christians of Serbia, the majority of the people. Madeleine Albright thought that was a great idea. Of course, you have to understand that Madeleine Albright hates Muslims and Christians because she's a Jew. And you know, nobody knew that until right at the height of that war. Then a little old internet website came out and said, guess what? Madeleine Albright, our Secretary of State, is a communist Jew. Her father was one of the chief communists in Czechoslovakia during the Stalin period. And then they immigrated to the United States, these commie Jews. And she pretended she wasn't a Jew. She said she was so shocked to discover, I'm shocked, shocked to discover I'm a Jew. And then she went over to Czechoslovakia and visited the cemeteries and the graves of all of her ancestors and said, what a shock, what a surprise, I'm a Jew. How nice. But we had told you already before, right here on Power Prophecy, she's Jewish. We had checked her bloodline, her heritage, and we found that out. Now, I also exposed the fact that Madeleine Albright was wearing these pins. She would wear very interesting pins, and I noticed this. She would usually wear a dress, although sometimes she wore pants, and she looked about equally horrid in either kind of clothing. But I noticed she was wearing these pins. And one of the pins was a brass eagle clutching a pearl in its talons, in its claws. Now, I knew what that pin was, and I described it and told you a little bit about it on air. It was what I call the Hillary pin. The cult of Hillary Clinton wore these pins, and they still do. In fact, during this recent campaign, I saw some Republican women and Democrat women wearing the Hillary pin. There's a special meaning to that. I'm going to have maybe have a whole program and tell you about the Hillary pin and its true meaning. But let me just say this. Voltaire, the atheist, who caused so much bloodshed during the French Revolution, said of Jesus Christ, crush the wretch. Crush the wretch. In other words, destroy Jesus. Crush him. The gospel of Jesus, of course, in the Bible is called the pearl of great price. And there the eagle had the pearl in its claws, in its talons. What do you think it was going to do to that pearl? Crush the wretch? Does that give you a little bit of idea of what the pin meant and means? Madeleine Albright wore that pin, but she wore many others. One was a serpent. One was a black cat. Now she actually has put out a book. Now if you read my book, my expose, Codex Magica, you'll understand that even clothing, jewelry, colors, hand signs, the way people maybe sometimes walk. Everything is symbolic and has meaning in the occult satanic world. The name of Madeleine Albright's book, published by Harper and Row, is Read My Pens, Stories from a Diplomat's Jewel Box. Read My Pens. Now, think of this. The top American diplomat, Secretary of State, and before that, she was ambassador to the United Nations. Madeleine Albright, a wearer of pens. Breeches, they used to be called. Mostly inexpensive costume jewelry. But in her book, she has pictures of each one, and she tells you what they mean. They have a meaning. She met with Saddam Hussein, and she had a special pin for him. Well, you remember President George Herbert Walker Bush once said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." Well, of course, he lied. But she says, my pens are telling people, read my pens. Each one sent a message. Wherever she went in the world, whatever dictator, whatever president, chancellor, prime minister, premier she met, the pen communicated a message, according to Madeleine Albright herself. And we told you so here on Power of Prophecy and my book, Codex Magica. In fact, Jerry, I believe in Codex Magica. We do have a section in there. Yeah. And I think Madeleine Albright is one of the people we show with her Crush the Wretch pen, the Hillary cult pen. Yeah, that's in the book. I've got so much in that book. It's 600 and some odd huge pages, giant book. You know, $35, $5 shipping and handling, and everything you'd want to know. I mean, the hand signs of the Freemasons and the Order of Skull and Bones and what all their symbols mean. And now Madeleine Albright is verifying what we said. I guess she said, well, it's out there. I may as well admit up to it, make some money from a book. That's sort of interesting. Well, you know, I get a lot of nice letters from folks. And I promise you, I read every one. Now, I know you're saying, well, I wrote him a letter and he never answered it. I know. Please forgive me. But I'm telling you, if you wrote me a letter and you asked me to pray for you, I did. I did. I honor those letters. I honor those requests. If you wrote me and told me of your specific situation and said, keep me in your prayers, I promise you I did. If you wrote me and gave me information, thank God for you. You know, that's how we do what we do here. I'm multiplied 1,000 times over by my friends out there. You keep sending me these things. I used to love a radio host from San Antonio, Texas, Alan Dale. He was host of the Alan Dale Show. He's passed away now, but boy, what an interesting fella he was. Old Alan Dale. And he had some strange characters as guests on his show. Why, he had even a guy named Tex Mars a few times on his show. That might have been the end of his show by that time. I'm not sure. Alan Dale Show, but he said that all of his people would send him ideas for programs and information. And he said, I call them my alligators. They're out there in the swamp doing their work. They're finding out all this information, all those alligators out there. Well, I don't want to call you an alligator. You're much more pretty to me than an alligator, but I'll tell you one thing. I got some folks out there and they're doing some work. They're out in the swamp. They're up to their, elbows in the swamp working. But they're God's angels. We'll call them God's angels. And I thank God for you. And when we come back, I'll mention a couple of letters, what people are saying to me. I want to tell you what Obama and the Republicans and Democrats are going to do to your Social Security. Maybe we'll get into some other things here. I've got so much. Is Israel going to leash its nuclear weapons? And how about this devil movie, Pan's Labyrinth? Oh, my goodness. So much for you. Stay with us. You're listening to Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, some people ask me, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? The gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we have cranked up again our church, Bible Home Church. I'm pastor of Bible Home Church, glad to be pastor of that church. Now, we've created it as a separate entity. It is separate and distinct, independent, in other words, from Power of Prophecy. And we have a website. You might call this an internet church. And if you can get a hold of the internet, if you're computer literate, or you can go down to a library maybe and listen once a week, just 30 minutes a week, right, Jerry? 30 minutes a week. And we always have a sermonette, you might want to call it, although, you know, 22 minutes with Tex Mars, some people think is an eternity. But I hope they don't think like that. But in any case, Jerry, you know, our my sidekick here, my producer and broadcast engineer, he says this is the fastest hour on radio. I think it is, too. So much information, we get it done pretty fast in an hour. But 30 minutes a week, do you have time to serve the Lord Jesus and to honor him and his word 30 minutes a week? Well, we have created another radio show called Bible Home Church. You can access it at BibleHomeChurch.org, O-R-G, in other words, for organization, BibleHomeChurch.org. It's a beautiful website, very simple, and you just go on the homepage, just, you know, type in BibleHomeChurch.org. Now, if you go on PowerOfProphecy.com, there will be a little place there. You can just click on there on the homepage at Bible Home Church. And it'll take you to Bible Home Church. And each week, we have a very interesting, informative, maybe exciting, sometimes thrilling, maybe fascinating, boring. No, never boring. But we cover a lot of ground once a week. And we just started up. This is the second week we have BibleHomeChurch.org. I would love for you just to tune in. You know, it's 24/7. So all 7 days of the week, I think every Wednesday, we put a new program on. By the end of the day on Wednesday, probably even by noon, we'll have a new program on for the, and that'll be on there the entire week. So you can listen Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever day you want, at any time. Hey, you can't sleep at night, you have insomnia. Hey, how about the Word of God? You know, there's something thrilling. I think that'll just comfort you, relax you. You'll probably be able to go back to sleep after that message. BibleHomeChurch.org. And, you know, we have a little place there you can donate to give you an address and such where you can donate and help Bible Home Church. Because we can't keep Bible Home Church alive if we don't get your financial help. And again, it's taking us a lot of time, a lot of effort, but we're doing it. And you know, some of the programs are audio tapes from messages that I delivered, you know, years ago. But you know, Jesus doesn't change. His word doesn't change. I think they'll keep you even up to date if they were sermons that I preached years ago. Some of them will be new. And if you've been around a long time, you might know the ones that are and aren't, but I believe you'll be blessed. Now, we've started off with a series entitled, Who is Jesus and What is Christianity? Now, I know if you've been around a while and you've been a Christian for a long time, you say, oh my goodness, I already know that. Well, possibly you do, but there may be things there that you don't know about. You know, I believe in the politically incorrect Jesus. There is another Jesus, but I believe in the Bible's Jesus. Are you sure you know him? And if you say, well, I'm a Christian, well, good. But are you sure? What really is Christianity? Is it just being a good person? Can you be a Hindu or a Buddhist and still be a Christian? Because God blesses all religions? Could that be so? What really is Christianity? Do you have to be a person who is without sin? Is that what a Christian is, a person who does not sin? Well, you'll find the answer in this series, Who is Jesus and What is Christianity? You know, I started off with that for Bible Home Church. Some people say, why didn't you get into prophecy? Why didn't you get into some conspiracy stuff? That's in the Bible too. I know it is. And we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll be talking about the prophecies in Genesis, the prophecies in Daniel, the prophecies in Paul, the prophecies in the book of Revelation. It is going to be an exciting journey. I'm promising you this. But you may have to wait a while because we've got a lot of things that are the bedrock of Christianity. You know, Jesus tells us he's the foundation. Paul said he's the foundation, and there's no other foundation you can lay. Jesus talked about setting, you know, the house that you build on shifting sands. The water comes in and eats up your foundation, and pretty soon the whole thing is just gone. We've seen that on the news programs, haven't we? Multi-million-dollar mansions overlooking the Big Sur there on the California coast, just sliding down into the ocean. They weren't built on a good foundation. Don't build your life, your potential for eternity on a shaky or a defective foundation. That's why we started off with Jesus Christ and Christianity. We start off there. Then we're going to go into things that you maybe never have imagined. Maybe God will give me some messages that, well, you just never heard about those things. You know, I'll never forget. I was with a pastor that was one of the top professors at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he was pastor of a church that had about 2,000 members. But he'd been former, you know, professor of theology and Bible history and all these things. Had a big, you know, divinity doctorate behind his name, Doctor So-and-so. He said to me, well, what are you writing about now? What are you doing now or something, I think. He was asking one of that. And we said, well, right now we're really talking about the goddess, the mother goddess. There are many people who are actually worshiping a mother goddess today. And he said, goddess, I've never heard of such a thing. And I said to him, well, you know, pastor, you know, Jeremiah says that the people of Israel, the Israelites, went into apostasy. And they began to worship the great goddess of the ancient mystery religions. In fact, it says that while the men went to work during the day, the women of Israel would go to the temple and to their synagogues and actually bake cakes and have little sacrifices and rituals to the Queen of Heaven. He said, I've never heard of that. That's in the Bible? I wanted to, you know, I shouldn't tell you what I want to do. That sounds so violent. But I wanted to just grab him by the ear maybe and say, hey, pastor, wake up. There's a big evil world out there. What are you doing? You better read Jeremiah. You better read the old prophets. I said, well, don't you remember that? The Queen of Heaven? No, I don't remember that. I said, well, what do you think about the way some Catholics think about Mary as the Queen of Heaven? They do, he said. And I just walked away shaking my head. Excuse me, but I really thought he was an ignoramus. And you know, almost everyone who listens to this radio program knows about the Queen of Heaven, knows about the great goddess that was worshipped. My wife wrote a whole book, New Age Lies to Women. I talked about it in my books, Dark Secret of the New Age, Mystery Mark of the New Age. I talk about it in Codex Magica even. Oh my. There may be some things you haven't ever heard of. I'm writing a new book now that will shock the world that reads it. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It'll be out probably about February the 1st. Look for it. I show that in Judaism, they do believe in the Trinity. You see, no text. They believe in one God. Jews criticize Christians for believing in a Trinity. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about, friend. They do believe in a Trinity. They believe in a Trinity. Of serpents. You say, oh, text. They don't worship the serpent in Judaism. Really? Really? I believe I can quote the world's leading rabbis and prove you're wrong. But their secret doctrine is stuff that no one knows of. But God has given me the privilege of discovering their materials and their secrets, and I will reveal them all in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Okay, now today I want to tell you about a book that you need. We have a good supply of these books. Pastor Hiram Almarudis wrote this book, Almarudis, A-L-M-I-R-U-D-I-S. But just ask for the book, The Gospel According to Pastor John Hagee. I told you there was another gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus, but it's being preached. And you know what? There are millions of people that believe in this gospel. It's The Gospel According to Pastor John Hagee, H-A-G-E-E. You see, Pastor Hagee is a Judaizer. He's a Zionist. He's the guy that's saying America needs to take nuclear bombs, our bombers, and go over and totally obliterate Iran and all of its people off the face of the earth. Kill all the Arabs that oppose Israel. But you know, Pastor Hagee, that means they would not have an opportunity to accept Jesus. We'd send them to their early graves, and they'd go to hell. Is that okay with you? Oh, yes, kill them all. Nuke them. That's the gospel, according to John Hagee. But he has more. He says Jesus did not come as the Messiah of Israel. He never claimed to be Messiah. You say, well, John Hagee must be a nut. I bet nobody listens to him. You'd be surprised. He's got one of those popular shows on Trinity Broadcasting Network, the world's largest Christian network, a television network. And not only that, John Hagee has a church with thousands of members, Cornerstone Church in San Antonio. And not only that, every year he has an international meeting of Jews and Christians where they meet and fellowship together in his organization for Israel, pro-Israel. And it's attended by 10 or 15,000 people, Christians. And up to 2,000 of them are Christian pastors, Southern Baptists, Assembly of God, Pentecostals, maybe a few Methodists and Lutherans even. Who knows? He's teaching this gospel and the whole world is lapping it, eating it up. And then comes along Dr. Hiram Almeridis, a former missionary. He's been where the rubber meets the road. He was responsible for telling so many thousands who Jesus really is. You know, Dr. Almeridis didn't much appreciate John Hagee's messages. So he did more research on John Hagee, researched all of his books, including John Hagee's book, In Defense of Israel. Now Dr. Almeridis has written his own book in which he exposes the Judaizers. He exposes the Zionists and he gives scripture. I think you're going to like this. Dr. Almeridis is a native of Mexico, actually. A minister of the Church of God out of Tennessee. He's authored 30 books, Christian books, all of them in Spanish, with the exception of this one book. God called him to write this one book. I think you'll enjoy this book. Now, he's been a professor at Temple Baptist Theological Seminary in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and many others. He was a chaplain at the Baptist Memorial Hospital in San Antonio, Texas. He's been a missionary to Mexico, Honduras, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, Argentina. He's ministered all over the world. And now he tells the truth about John Hagee's gospel. As for the book, The Gospel According to Pastor John Hagee, just $15 and we'll send it to you. Please add $5 shipping and handling. A total of $20 for the book, The Gospel According to Pastor John Hagee. And you know, when you get this book, I'd love to hear from you. Dear friends, please write to TextMars, Power Prophecy, that's where you can get this book, by the way, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Send $20, that'll cover the shipping and handling and postage for the book. Ask for The Gospel According to Pastor John Hagee. And I want to plead with you, after you're finished reading this book, and I promise you'll read it all the way through, it is so interesting, you'll see what John Hagee and people like him, the Christian evangelicals, what lies they're being told today, and they're believing in it. Even the head of the Southern Baptist Convention believes much like Hagee does. And I want you to write to me and say, Tex, here's what I believe. I know now what John Hagee and all of the other bigwigs of these denominations believe. I know what Dr. Hiram Almeridis believes, and I want you, Tex, to know what I believe, what I think. I just ask you to use the Bible as your evidence. I'd like to hear from you. I appreciate it. You have no idea how many ideas, how many prayers, how many thoughts, how much contemplation, how much research you have inspired me to. It's amazing. You see the mail we get in here, the emails and all. I read it all. You know, even when I'm home, when I'm sick, I was out for three or four months. I was just ill. But you know what? Jerry sent me my emails every day. And Sandra, who works for us here, she doesn't live too far from Wanda and I. She would drop by our house, you know, every couple of days and give me all my mail. So I read it all. And that was, I mean, listen, I was upset, you know, when Sandra didn't come by my house. Give me, where's my mail? I call up Jerry. Jerry, where are my emails at? Send them to me on my home computer from work there. I want to read. I want to read them. Okay. $20. 1708. Just send $20. Ask for the book, The Gospel According to Pastor John Hagee, or ask for the Hagee book, H-A-G-E-E. Our people, they're smarter than me here. They work here. Yeah, they're smarter than me. They can figure out what you're asking for. The Gospel According to Pastor John Hagee. I know you'll be blessed by that book. Those of you who have it, I'd like to hear from you too, what you think about the message. Now, our telephone number here, you can call us during the week, during Central Time, 8 to 5. And that number is toll-free. Toll-free. Don't have to pay a cent. 1-800-234-9673. Hey, if you're overseas, you can call us at 512-263-9780. Ask for the book, The Gospel According to Pastor John Hagee. $20 postpaid. We'll send it right out to you. And by the way, we still covet. We love to receive love gifts, your financial gifts, your offerings, your tithes. We appreciate it so much because it keeps this ministry going around the world. We're going to keep telling the truth until either I die, and then, well, we'll see if God calls someone else into this ministry after I'm gone. Or Jesus comes. I like that. We'll be here till Jesus comes. Who knows when that'll be? I think we have a few more years. I really do. And maybe someday I'll tell you why I believe we have a few more years. But things certainly are rounding up. I mean, boy, the signs are here, aren't they? Wow. Okay, let's return to our regular program now. This is a volume of secrets. The co-chair of the Obama debt panel is under fire for some remarks he made. Now, I'm reading from CNNmoney.com. Now, you know, President Obama has set up a bipartisan debt commission. And they're supposed to come out in a few months and tell us how the budget can be cut. Permanent fix budget cuts. Well, to be bipartisan, you have to get both the Republicans and Democrats involved. Erskine Bowles, who's one of the top advisors, political advisors to Bill Clinton when he was president, is co-chairman of this, Mr. Bowles. B-O-W-L-E-S. And then Senator from Wyoming, Alan Simpson, is the Republican co-chairperson. So they have a Democrat and Republican, Simpson and Bowles. And their little committee is going to come out and tell us how to cut things, what to cut. Folks, I already know what they're going to say. They're going to say we have to increase taxes, maybe even a value-added tax, which would be the worst kind of national sales tax. But they're also going to say we need to cut Social Security and Medicare entitlements. Now, they're not going to say we need to cut all the illegal immigrants off of Social Security and Medicare. They're not going to say that. Because Mr. Bowles and Senator Simpson, retired Senator Simpson, believe just alike. Both of them are members of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Committee. What do you think they're going to say? They're going to say slice the entitlements. Cut the entitlements for native-born Americans. Oh, yes. You're going to get it in the neck, friends. You're going to get it in the neck. And this is going to be the cover for President Obama. He's going to say, I'm just going along with what the Bipartisan Debt Commission wants. They think we ought to cut Social Security. Now, with the left hand, they'll be giving out tens of billions to new people that are going to go on the Social Security rolls. That's all the illegal aliens. Most of them, Obama and the Republicans and the Democrats want to give amnesty to. And once they get amnesty, then they'll get everything, all the welfare, all the goodies. But a matter of fact, George W. Bush, a Republican, while he was in office, already started a process called totalization, which means the total world, the entire world, everyone who comes to America and works, whether they're illegal, undocumented, or not, will get on our Social Security rolls. And I told you about that, that they've even built a, what is it, $400 million, $300 million, I've forgotten now, after a few hundred million dollars, what does it matter, building in Mexico City to process checks for Mexicans, non-citizens of the United States, who are going to be getting our Social Security and Medicare. George Bush approved a $400 million building, a headquarters for Social Security in Mexico City. They're going to have one in Caracas, Venezuela, in Montevideo, Uruguay, in Tokyo, Japan. Social Security. Unbelievable. The Indians will get it. Indonesians. The Pakistanis. The Canadians. So they're going to say, well, now we're paying way too much on Social Security and Medicare. Now that we've got totalization under George W. Bush and Barack Obama approves the same thing, and now we're giving out so much money, now we want to give amnesty to 30 or 40 million more illegal aliens in America. They're already getting Social Security, but if they were hiding before and working in the underground economy, bring them out from the underground, make them legal, give them amnesty, and of course give them free hospital Medicare under Obamacare. Give them all the Social Security, all the Medicare, too. And the Medicaid, it goes on, of course. Now, Simpson, he's the biggest crud. And he, listen to what he said. It makes me mad. He has already stated what he was going to do. He was asked by a reporter what his own opinion is. Now, he's the chairman of the committee. They're not even supposed to make their conclusions until the New Year's. But he was asked what he thought about Social Security. He says it is a, quote, milk cow with 310 million tits. Social Security, that's just a milk cow with 310 million tits. Well, we're going to kill the cow. He didn't say we're going to kill the cow. That's basically what he meant. Now, first of all, dear friends, there's not 310 million people in America. Who was he talking about? And if there are some 300 million people in America, according to demographers, statistical experts, 30 to 40 million of them are illegals. Why should they be getting Social Security? And as a matter of fact, that 300 million is the entire population of America, men, women, and children. Now, till you get, now it's minimum of 65, but they've already, I mean, my age group, I think I have to wait for full benefits till I'm 67, 68, I can't remember. They've already changed it from 65 to 66, 67, 68, depending on the year you were born. So they've already made you wait longer to get full benefits. And now, you know, several years ago, they passed laws where Social Security is now taxed under certain circumstances. So you pay in all the Social Security tax all the years. Then when you get Social Security, they start taxing that. That's a disgrace. That's outrageous. And this is the second year that the federal government has announced that Social Security recipients will not get a raise. Did you hear what I just said? You know that if you're on Social Security, they're not going to raise you 1 cent in Social Security. They didn't raise you last year. So it'll be 3 years. Maybe next year you'll get a increase in Social Security benefits. They say it's because, you know, living expenses haven't gone up that much. The COLA, cost of living expenses. What a bunch of garbage. Don't tell me the price of food at the food stores has not gone up. I mean, I watched the stock market. Did you know that in the sugar markets, the price of raw sugar has gone up 100% this year. The price of corn has gone up 70%, and soybeans and rice and all the other staples. And that means all of the big food manufacturers have to raise their prices, and they make their packages smaller. You were getting 10 ounces of a cereal. Now you'll get 8 ounces. Everything will be smaller and smaller, and they'll make you pay more for it. And the produce will cost you more. And they're lying to people and saying, cost of living's not going up, so we can't give you an increase. And by the way, I'm a military retiree, and they told me that I'm not going to get a pay raise either, or raise of my military retirement. Okay, I'll get by. So that's what you think, Mr. Simpson, Alan Simpson, Senator, CFR, Trilateral Commission, ignoramus, that Social Security is a milk cow with 310 million tits. Friends, it's set up for them to destroy the Social Security system. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wish they had never set it up. I wish they would just let us keep our money. Let us invest it where we want to. In fact, I make an offer to the federal government. Give me back every cent I put in with the minimum of interest compounded over the years. I'll take it. They won't do that because they've been robbing you all these years, and they know it. They know it. Meanwhile, President Obama is continuing the Bush program of assassinations. The federal government has announced they have the right to assassinate U.S. citizens anywhere in the world if they're suspected of being a terrorist. Did you hear what I said? If you are suspected of being a terrorist or aiding terrorists, you can be assassinated by the American military, the American CIA, the FBI, or they can put a contract out on you, our federal government, and put the contract out to any other intelligence agency across the globe, in Europe and Asia. You may find you're a tourist and you go to visit Moscow, Russia, and you get a bullet put in the head by the equivalent of the KGB there. Why? Because Obama administration put a contract out on you. Even as an American citizen. Where is that in the Constitution that they can assassinate American citizens? They don't even give you a trial. They just say, this guy's a troublemaker, go kill him. They say they have the right. What right? The right of dictators. The right of dictators. Now, let's talk about this movie real quick. Pan's Labyrinth. Gets into pedophilia. Gets into Satanism. The girl gets to know the horns of the ram god. It's a chilling story set back in 1944 rural Spain. And this little girl, this lonely little girl, Ophelia, creates a world filled with fantastic creatures, monsters. It's a fable. And Warner Brothers, owned by Time Warner, put out this filthy movie. An innocent little girl is presented to Satan. That's what this is. And they want your kids to watch this movie. Pan's Labyrinth. Who do you think Pan is? A horned god. A little innocent child falling in love with a sexual predator. The devil. She falls in love with the devil. The horned god, the devil. That's just sickening. Jewish-owned Hollywood is going to come under judgment from God. I'm telling you, friends. The Jews that own Hollywood have destroyed this country's morals. They've wrecked the fabric of our society, and they are going to have to answer for that. Oh, how horrible. Well, one bit of good news before we go. In the state of Indiana, the legislators have now found out about the wicked, evil, pedophilia, homosexual Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. It's on the campus of state-subsidized Indiana University, the Kinsey Institute, you know, the sex researchers. Well, an Indiana legislator, a congressman, went down there to visit. He said, I went down to that place and toured it. It's just a pit. It is just a porno pit. And he wants to defund it. Well, of course. Of course he wants to defund it. It's a pit of hell. It's another Pan's Labyrinth. And it's on the campus of Indiana University. If you're from Indiana, contact your state legislator and tell them, do not give 1 cent to this filthy, satanic, pornographic pit that is the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. I ask you, please do that. Well, this is Tex Mars. Been great being with you today right here on Power of Prophecy. And it's my prayer, my hope, that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.